Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM. Let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and happy Friday. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
So we talked about the Redpath murders for Halloween.
Uh-huh.
This is an interesting one because it really becomes so much more about, like, the psychology of a family and what was going on there. And also is a good example of how, when information is withheld, people just make up their own versions of a story.
Yeah. Yeah, it really feels like a bunch of wealthy people kind of closed ranks.
Mm-hmm. 100%. So that we'll never really know. I mean, I presume if they did that, it was out of some embarrassment or desire to, you know, hide what was really going on. It's interesting because, of course, Amy is kind of the linchpin in the whole thing and how it got presented publicly. And her diaries have a lot of information about her day-to-day doings, but she really doesn't include personal reflections in them. So we don't have a great sense of, like, her personal thoughts on any of it. If she did write any such things, they are gone. She does seem to have been very invested in making sure that Cliff's name was in good standing going forward. Like, mm-hmm. part of what she did with the family money was establish a library fund at McGill in her brothers, Peter's and Cliff's name. That was quite substantial. She did not do the same for her mother. She also had the gates that you would go through when you enter McGill University. She had built, those are dedicated to her husband, Dr. Roddick, after he had passed. But there is also this whole thing that some historians have read into Amy's story or interpreted Amy's story to speculate about the possibility that she may have actually been, whether or not in a relationship or not, but romantically fixated on Rose Swallow, who worked in the home.
Mm-hmm.
She did make some very unique and special arrangements for Rose in her will. It was one of those things where it was like a woman like Rose, it seemed weird for her to stay in the position she stayed in as long as she did. It wasn't really like growth. There was the two of them traveled together a lot. So there's been speculation that they may have been a couple or they may have just been best friends. We don't know. But again, it's one of those things that, like, because all real information has been shut down. And granted, that's the kind of thing that would have been the case anyway, right?
Right.
For the early 1900s, it's not like she would go, and I'm in love with our maid. Nobody was going to say that, right? But it's yet another piece of this puzzle where people are like, what was going on in that house? They surely didn't want anybody to know. And the other thing that makes this tricky, and it came up in some of the research I was reading, was that because of the family's reticence to speak, what we really have are those fast and furious news reports that were coming out. And that's it. And so you kind of have to sift through them and do like a pattern recognition practice and be like, okay, well, they all do say this in the immediate aftermath. So it seems like that might be accurate. They don't all agree on this, so we have to discount that across the board. Like, there, it becomes very, very hard to actually make any sort of cogent picture out of what's going on. I'm forever, forever fascinated. We said we were going to talk about the house, and here is why.
Yeah.
There is another house that is almost always called the Red Path Mansion, and it comes up in articles about this, even in like news stories. Uh-huh. That is not the same house, as far as I can tell. As we said, the Redpaths, very wealthy. They established a lot of that area, and they continued to live in that area for a while. So many of them had houses built. So there's more than one Red Path Mansion. Mm-hmm. The house that they lived in when this happened was designed by an architect named John James Brown in 1870, like the year they bought it. It was a new house. And you mentioned that when you're looking for show art, you saw a lot of pictures of houses that look very much the same. Mm-hmm. And that's because he designed a lot of houses for the square mile that were all very similar in appearance. Yeah. So that's one thing that goes on. But there is a whole other thing that actually got a good bit of media coverage, which is a Red Path Mansion that was designed by Sir Andrew Taylor in 1886. And that house was demolished in 2014 after a very long struggle over whether or not it should be considered a historic property and restored. Part of it was demolished, I think, in the 80s, and then the demolition was stopped through like some sort of municipal action, and then it kind of stood there in disrepair. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand how they get confused because, one, the neighborhood has obviously changed in layout a great deal over time. And the way one particular picture I kept seeing of it looks almost similar to, like, if you were looking at the mansion where this murder-suicide happened from the back angle. Like, I'm like, oh, I could see where that might be the same house. Mm-hmm. But then the architects are listed as different, and they are 16 years apart in their construction, which just makes it very confusing. But even people who, this is part of the problem that we're still feeling from the family's closedness regarding information. Even people who were studying that newer house get it confused with the Red Path murders, because there is that weird kind of just quiet black hole of what mm-hmm. was going on. And what's really, really interesting is that there are a lot of discussions of that house, that historical home that was destroyed in 2014, that don't mention the murders at all. So people are just kind of connecting the dots because it's a well-known name, and that is a mansion, and these happen in a mansion, and they're often called the Red Path Mansion murders. And so I think there's some things are getting conflated. And it makes it that much more tricky to sort the whole thing out.
Hopefully I sent you a picture of the right house.
You did. I looked.
Great. It took me a really long time to find that particular one.
That does not surprise me, even a small amount.
I found a lot of other pictures that I'm pretty sure are the same houses I sent you from a slightly different angle. But I also found a bunch of houses that were not, it's a totally different house. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It's tricky.
Yeah. We already talked about how a lot of the language that was used in the articles is not great language about disability
epilepsy,
and chronic illness. Also, just generally, seizures can be really scary to witness and experience, but they don't generally make people violent.
No.
So the idea that, like, he had a seizure and murdered his mother, like, that's just...
Well, there's also this secondary thing, right? Where, and I am obviously not a doctor, but I did do some research on epilepsy and thinking about this and watched a couple of lectures from doctors. Like, there are instances where epilepsy can present not as a seizure, but as, like, seeming big changes in personality mood. Yeah. And so the thing that gets me, though, is that if that was what they're trying to push this idea toward, the doctors that testified, and I kind of have to use air quotes because they did testify, but I'm not convinced that wasn't all a story they agreed on before they got in front of the coroner's jury. If that was the idea they were trying to push, then the introduction of, and he appeared to have been foaming at the mouth, that is more in line with a seizure, which would not really be the, like, you cannot really make those two things mesh, in my opinion. The other thing is that the idea that one of the house staff had held the two revolvers and then had shown them that they had been discharged. The way he showed them they were discharged was by going, look, see, this one has 5 bullets left in it and this one has 4. Well, that's not really conclusive evidence.
Right. Right.
Because we don't know if those were tampered with. It wasn't like they did ballistics testing.
Yeah, we didn't say that specifically in the episode, but that was what I had concluded they had done, was yeah. like being like, this is how many bullets are left.
Yeah, that was exactly it. And I just, there's so many things like that that really feel like they conferred and put together their story, and then that's what went forward. The fact that those two people had been through the funeral and burial process in less than 48 hours after the shooting happened is the reddest flag.
Yeah.
It's so strange. It's so strange. And we'll never really know what weird family secret they may have been protecting. Or maybe they weren't. And they just were weird and they didn't want anybody to know their family had any kind of normal problems. We don't know. We don't know where those weapons came from. The fact that there were two seems really weird to me. Mysteries abound.
Yeah.
I feel like the whole thing has to be allegedly, because we don't know what the real story
right.
is. So we may not have given you any sort of goblins or ghosts for Halloween, but we gave you things to think about and speculate on. It's a fascinating one. There are still descendants of the Redpath family who I'm sure have their own very strong feelings on the matter.
Mm-hmm.
The mystery will live on. History, mystery.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/Papertarian.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
This week, we had one of the parts of our two parts of Unearthed for the autumn season of the year. And we don't normally break two-parters across the weekend, especially once we started doing Saturday classics.
It's my fault.
Just makes it seem like there was a bunch of stuff in between part one and part two. But it just doesn't feel as necessary with Unearthed episodes, since there's not a continual narrative running across the entire course of the episode. And also, we just had some weird scheduling stuff happen.
It's my fault. Listen, Ouija went long. That's what's up.
We've had a number of surprise two-parters, which is also part of why we are recording this episode on October the 4th, and it's not coming out till way later than that, which is not a buffer we usually manage to accumulate unless we're specifically trying to get ahead of somebody going on vacation or having other time off that's planned.
Right. Which is about to happen. I have a question for you going into this.
Okay.
Because one of the things that happened to Unearthed in the last couple of years, since you're the person that collects and collates and assembles these, is that for a while we had a little bit of like a drop off because the pandemic was causing a lot of archaeological projects and other research things to be put on pause. Are you noticing that things have ramped back up to almost normal or no?
Yeah, I would put things into the almost normal rate of publishing category at this point. I also think there was a period where I was finding a lot of stuff that specifically referenced like a museum inventorying its entire collection while it was closed because of the pandemic, or restoration work that was going on that was that continued during the pandemic with like 3 people there, like that kind of stuff.
Right.
And there were some references to the pandemic and work that was either paused because of the pandemic or was carried out specifically because people had the opportunity during the pandemic. There was some of that this time, but I feel like less than last time.
Yeah. I'm just fascinated by that ebb and flow.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I was actually kind of surprised that I don't think we've wound up having a one part of this in a while, which back when we started doing them quarterly instead of twice a year, and that was up from once a year, I was like, surely at some point there will only be one episode's worth of stuff to talk about. But this time, as is always the case, I had 2 episodes, not always, but usually the case lately. I had 2 episodes of stuff to talk about, and then also stuff that I had bookmarked that we did not talk about for various reasons. Some of it just because it was more coin hoards that didn't feel like they added more to the discussion.
I thought about your coin hoards recently. I'm trying to think of a way I can talk about this without spoiling anything. Because it's about it will not be a spoiler when this comes out, but you have not seen this yet, which is an episode of Andor where they are in an antiquity shop and someone mentions we've just gotten in quite an interesting bunch of coins. And I was like, oh my gosh, coin hearts who followed me to space. I can't escape. They're everywhere.
That's pretty great. This also got worked on in a particularly chaotic way because there was like, I had time off that has happened now and then came back and we had, folks have probably heard that the iHeart Radio podcasters formed a union that is recognized for union bargaining. And so this was pulled together in the midst of having a lot of time devoted to union bargaining because I've been working on that with the union. So that is proceeding apace is how I can describe that. So as I was yesterday going through all of this, I kept finding stuff where it was clear that I had been working on something and then I had gotten the message that was like, we're back to the table. Okay, gotta go back to the table now.
Dun, dun, dun. I mean, I feel like I always work in fits and starts. So for me, there's always like a half left sentence where my brain just goes, you know what? You got to go cut out that dress right this second.
Yeah.
Like a zombie.
Yeah. I think you and I have like different mental temperament in that way. Because I know you always, for as long as I have known you, have had like 27 things you're juggling at the same time. And I am more like, I need 8 hours to focus on this thing.
Whereas I would, if I did that 90 minutes in, I would stop being productive.
Yeah. Like,
it would literally become a thing where I typed 2 words a half an hour. I don't, my brain just is like, no, gear change, please. It's another fascinating thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think probably lots of listeners right now are going, is Holly ADHD? And I'm like, I don't know, maybe. Maybe, but I'm in my 50s and it works fine. So,
yeah. I have similar questions about myself sometimes, not about specifically ADHD, but about like some under the like non-neurotypical umbrella. And I similarly am like, I'm 47 years old and I have adapted to the challenges that my brain's thrown at me. And it sure would answer some questions about my childhood.
Yeah. I mean, I remember I actually talked to my therapist about it a while back and she was like, okay, but like, would having an official diagnosis really change your life? Like, I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I guess it probably wouldn't. I'd just be like, oh, I understand why that happens now. And then I'd be like, okay, I still want to shuffle things because that's how I like it at this point. You know what else tickled me in this episode?
What?
In the Tom and Should case, the idea that what we have long suspected to be a spy code might just be like horse betting
numbers. Stuff.
And it made me laugh because I have often wondered, I know I certainly do this. I think most people do this, right? You scribble down notes to yourself at various times. And sometimes you even go back to your own notes and go, I don't know what this is about anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how many completely innocuous, like, you're on the phone with someone and you think of another thing, so you write it down really fast so you don't forget. And then you go back. Like, how many of those have people been like ascribing meaning to that it doesn't?
Yeah. Patrick runs various D&D games as the, you know, the DM of the game. And I don't think I've ever found notes that were related to a game that I have played in with him, but I have for sure stumbled onto like pieces of paper where he jotted something down for one of the other campaigns, just like on the dining table or something. And it looks baffling for a moment. And then it's like, oh, these are some die rolls.
Yeah. It's actually more exciting to me when my brain refines a thing that I didn't know what it was, but I kept it in case. And then like 2 years later, it'll be like, oh, those were the measurements of that garment. And I'm like, yay!
There was one time, I think I've mentioned this on a show before. I a lot of times will just plunk things into my notes app on my phone if I'm out and about in the world and something strikes my interest as potentially for the show. And occasionally I will go through my notes app to be like, is there anything interesting in here that I haven't really talked about? And one time I was like, whoa, this sounds fascinating. And I put it into my search bar. And it was locations from Skyrim that I needed to go to.
I love it. I love it so much.
So, yeah. Anyway, folks will get 2 behind-the-scenes installments about this time's Unearthed, because second part's coming out next week. And until then, I hope everybody has a great weekend, whatever's going on. If nothing's going on, I hope you have a great time doing nothing. Sometimes I love to do nothing.
A little light putter. It's the best.
So we'll be back with a Saturday Classic tomorrow and the rest of Unearthed on Monday. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And?
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.